Hey guys and gals, just wanted to announce a new content feature. This is going to be free for everybody for this first episode, but then subsequent episodes, and we have no real release schedule for this feature. It's just whenever we have time and we do, and we're going to try to keep a couple of these in the can for rainy days when we don't have much content coming out, or just, you know, whenever. It's kind of a comedy TV show where we randomly generate names of television shows using a couple internet searches that we like, and then we pitch the idea, like, as if that if that was a real show, what would it be about and who would it star? So this, again, first episode's free, first hits free, first taste free. Subsequent ones, you need to be a club member, which you can find out about at club.baldmove.com, and they'll come out in the premium feeds, like with the lunches and the On the Rocks and all the other special type features. And we hope you enjoy.
This is a podcast where Jim and I, using tools created for the purpose, randomly generate a title for a fictional TV show. We then pitch ideas to each other about what that show would be like if it were real. We like to call it Quit Your Pitching.
Let's do Colony Talk.
Colony Talk.
My pitch is... imagine if there was some kind of a public access television in the 1770s.
Okay.
And it's New England in America. It's the colonies. And yeah. It's what would a talk show, what would a Ellen DeGeneres slash Oprah slash, you know, what would that look like? Colony Talk.
I like it. So is it like, is it a discussion between the classes, or is it just like everyday life and the...
It's the gamut. Like, maybe some of them are, I want to do fun. I was thinking, like, what would a funniest home videos look like in the 1770s? Like,
oh man,
you know,
it'd be all apple carts turning.
That's
over.
That's why I was thinking it'd be like people dying in the streets.
Yeah.
Like, look at these three kids licking their lollipops in the corner of bumfucking pothole in Boston.
All of them kicked by horses. It's too
bad. Oh, right. Yeah. You can actually see the brains coming out of their ears there. Yeah. It'd be something like that.
Yeah.
Or here's
kids kicked by horses.
Here's Johnny smelting silver. Oh shit, the cauldron tipped over onto his sister.
She has a helmet of gold.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
All right, I like it.
Oh, these British soldiers think they're being quartered against the Americans' will, but actually, they're going to be drug out in the middle of the night and tarred and feathered.
Where's the talk part of this?
Yeah, I've lost that part of the plot.
Hosted by Joel McHale.
Sure.
He does his talk soup shtick after the fact, they play the video.
It wouldn't be Joel McHale, it'd just be Joel Hale. They didn't let Irish people in until a long time
afterwards.
Is his
name Joel Hale?
I think it's McHale. That's what I'm saying.
Gotcha.
First comes the English.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, I like it. He would essentially be the Bob Saget. Like, interviewing the people, talking to them, like, what were you thinking when your son got kicked
in the head?
Or maybe,
like, what would Rush Limbaugh... Can you imagine Rush Limbaugh back in, like, the Patriot times? Like, what he would be, he'd get his hardcore bitch on about the price of tea and how our English, our fat cat English overlords are sitting across the ocean.
All right, so it's the colonial times Rush Limbaugh.
Sure.
Reality America's Funniest Home Video Show.
Sure.
Sounds good.
Next. Okay, let's do this. Last Joe Standing.
Oh, this is an endurance game show, for sure.
Okay, pitch it. Because I've got a pitch, too.
They call Joes from around the country.
Sure.
Not like regular Joe type sense, but literally people named Joe.
You're trying to find the irregular Joes.
Yeah. Well, okay. The ones, you know, the ones who can remain standing the longest. So they weight you down with various objects. They'll put, like, you know, there are punishments for, like, you have to answer trivia questions while you're standing. And it's literally the person who can stand the longest while answering trivia questions wins. But if you answer a trivia question wrong... They load you up with like a backpack full of rocks.
What if they like load you down to something?
Hit you in the knees with hammers or something.
What if they load you? Because everyone's name has a meaning, right? Like, let me.
It's true.
Meaning of name Hubbard. What if they weighted you down with something that was an ironic take on the name? Because that's the only thing that distinguishes the Joes is their last name.
Okay. Where are you going with this?
So, I don't know. I'm looking at Hubbard. Hubbard is an English surname. They're derived from personal names such as Old German Hugebert and Hubert, which are composed of the elements hug and bright.
So are you insinuating that the mental anguish would be part of the Like, so they're like, insulting
Joe Hubbard, you are now going, there's going to be a burly man going to hug you with his arms and legs, like a suspend himself from his body, and that's your weight.
Okay.
And then, like, throw out another last name. What are one of these Joes?
Mathis.
Mathis? Okay. Sure. Meaning of name, how do you spell Mathis?
I don't know. M-A-T-T-H-I-S.
Is it Matthias, you mean?
No, Mathis. M-A-T-H-I-S. How about that?
M-A-T-H-I-S. Okay. So it is. Okay. It's a variant of Matthias. So let's then look at Matthias. This is going to go somewhere, I promise.
I hope so.
It means gift of God. What's a gift of God, Jim?
A Christmas tree. God made the earth, right? So rocks. I'm going rocks every time.
Gift of God is a Christmas tree. Strap a Christmas tree to his back.
Uh-huh.
Got to get one more name. It's got to be the exception that proves the rule or something. How about Keener?
Sure.
Joe Keener. It's believed to be of late medieval or English origins. Let's see here. Yeah. So it's from surnamedb.com. It's a rare and interesting surname. Okay.
Interesting. That's pretty subjective.
So it's a person from the village of Keen or Kin.
They get everyone from Keen to come down to the studio and
they do.
They strap them to your back.
This the name game's not working.
I think
for
it's going to be tough because you can get a name with like feathers. How do you strap somebody down with enough feathers to weigh him down?
Well, you know, a pound of feathers weighs as much as a pound of lead, Jim.
It's true, but the space they take up is very different.
Okay, so here's my pitch for Last Joe Standing.
Okay.
You have a line for a prestigious event or item, like a free item. Like, let's say it's an iPhone release or something.
All right, iPhone 7.
But it's by invitation only.
Okay.
You get out the invitation only. You deliberately only invite people whose name is Joe.
We're both going with the name. Okay, the literal name.
So all these people show up, start queuing up for this very desired thing. So they really want to stay in line. And we film the whole process, and we wait until there's a critical mass of them that realize that they're all named Joe. Because after a few hours, you're going to be like, you're going to hear people for Joe. Oh, my name's Joe. Isn't that crazy?
And it's
going
to ripple. I think that happens immediately. Like the first time someone asks someone else their name.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's a singularity
event.
I get,
if you're a Joe, I'm sure, because you and I have kind of distinct names. But if you start.
But if you're all Joe.
Jim. Yeah, there's not that many Jims. If you're all Joe.
You say, hey, I'm Joe. What's your name? I'm Joe, too. And the guy sitting next to you
five
hears,
other Joes are going
to
hear that.
Oh, I'm Joe, too.
What the fuck?
What is that? Is your name Joe too?
As soon as that ripple of confusion comes through, you have a random person come off the street, off the sidewalk, or run across the street and punch one in the face as hard as he can and run off. And then at a random time between 30 seconds and 5 minutes, a new person comes in and punches a Joe in the face.
Okay.
Now, dude, like, how often does that happen?
Purely a game of chance.
Before the Joes, because element of like some people are like, fuck this, people are targeting Joes, or we're just getting. Like, who's the last Joe that's going to get the thing?
So I saw this movie called Circle, which has given me a great idea for this.
Okay,
I think it could be the same guy. So the same guy is punching Joes, right? But he chooses at random, or he chooses however he sees fit which Joe to punch.
Mm.
And the entire time, the Joes are trying to convince him not to punch them.
Mm.
And the last Joe standing wins the prize.
Mm. That's funny, too. It's in a different stuff. I was thinking, like, the scene in The Matrix where people, you know, they're doing the agent training and the people are just brushing by. That's the way the sidewalk traffic's going to be.
Oh, so there's just traffic
and
everywhere?
You don't know who it's going to be or when.
That's like, pure terror. That's pure terror the entire time.
And how many
standing
punches
in that
before
line.
People are like, oh, fuck it, I'm out of here. Like,
do I want to take a punch to the face? So how big is the reward for being
the
last Joe
standing?
It's
got to be something. It's something better than, like, let's say it's $100,000. Like,
yeah, I'm not going to take a punch to the face for $1,000. Sorry.
Yeah.
Like a random,
but
from nowhere punch
to the face?
But you're
not you'll get a punch to the face. It's a random chance within 1,000 Joes in line.
Yeah, only one Joe. You've got a 1 in 1,000 chance of not getting punched.
Yeah. And then for
those
extra fun,
good.
You distribute to the people that are walking in, you just ever randomly give some of them like an umbrella, a golf club, or a baseball bat.
Oh, God.
And they're not allowed to punch to Joes. But you got to think the extra tense up when a baseball bat carrying dude. And maybe the guys actually kind of mean mug a few of them.
Uh-huh. Just now, is this something that the Joes... do the Joes see the same person passing them like a whole bunch?
Or no, they're different. Where... It's all faceless crowd.
So they might not even know that they're on the show. Or
no,
they?
No, they don't know they're on a show. They know
they
that
just show up for an event.
They're showing up for an event and they sign a waiver that says that they can be filmed.
This is like street art.
Now here's the thing: like you can't just like this would never work. This is why this is a fake comedy pit show, people, because they'll never you can never sign away the rights to just punch someone in the face.
Of course.
Although the guys in bum fights did.
Well, you know, bum
maybe
fights
maybe bury
is its
that
own
into
thing.
The thing. I don't know. All right. So yeah, that's my the last
like
Joe standing.
I like those pitches.
Okay, how about Duke of Humiliation?
Oh, wow. Duke of Humiliation.
This sounds like a BDSM.
My mind immediately goes to, like,
porn
Benedict
pitch.
Cumberbatch. He's the Duke of Humiliation. He is
the Duke, yeah. All right? And what
he
does
he do? He
could
pull off Duke. Or David Tennant, maybe? He could pull off Duke.
David Tennant, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
He's more of an Earl.
Okay.
Or a Baron.
I honestly
no more than
tell
a knight, honestly.
Difference.
Bender Dick Cumberbunch is the way. He's the Duke. And honestly, Duke Humiliation, like Shakespeare, or not Shakespeare, Sherlock.
Uh-huh.
That's essentially the character he plays in Sherlock.
Is he humiliating other people or himself?
Other people.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter, like Watson's fair game, the police that work with him and call him in cases are fair game, the villain who's going to kill somebody. It's like, yes. He will eviscerate you. So it's
I like it. So this is a weekly like humiliation of the week.
What if
sort
like,
of show?
What if? So I'm always thinking. I don't know why, but I'm thinking of these in terms of reality shows. I'm thinking of you pay Benjamin Cumberbatch to go up to a random person in New York City or L.A. and just either you get like you get a team of like roasters that are on the Comedy Central roast and they got a bug in his ear and he has to say in his withering Bender Dick Cumberbunch tone, superior English tone. He has to say, and he has no choice. He has to say whatever these people are making him say. Or he just comes up, analyzes the person physically.
And then tears him to
shreds. And just tears into shreds. And then this rolls his eyes and walks off.
And then the hidden cameras film.
Because
the
you think like some
aftermath.
People are going to, people are going to be recognized and there's going to be this like, oh my God, it's been, and then he's just going to tear into them. The emotional whiplash.
And
there.
He does this. He'll do this every day for a week to the same person. And the cameras follow them around. Like, that's the thing. Like, you know you're on this reality show.
You sign up to spend a day with Benjamin Cumberbatch. So everyone's excited. But
and they're
going
to film you
and
make a documentary
about it. And you're
going to
be his personal assistant. And you're thinking, oh, this is going to be a cream puff. And it's going to be on him filming a movie. But he actually treats his assistant shitty.
Oh, yeah. He's the worst.
Like, who breaks first? How long did they take?
And then they air that documentary as they said they would.
The Duke of Humiliation.
Like it.
All right. Let's do Mama's Crypt.
Mama's Crypt. Whew.
This is the story of a woman who has a baby every year and then murders her children and stores them in the basement downstairs. What's coming out of my mouth?
I don't know.
I don't know either. It's free, Mama's Crypt.
Freeform Mama's Crypt Association.
That's what I'm thinking of. It's the story, and you like each episode is a different child. So here's the thing: like every child
is getting dark fast.
Every child's born and dies in the same episode, but they're out of sequence because she doesn't. It's not like she lets them get to be like 5 years old and then kills them. Like maybe she murders them at 16, maybe she was 13, and you'll see their brothers and sisters all throughout in the background of the episode, and one of those episodes will be the day that they're born and killed.
So it's just like
it's like you get to see different sides of the mother's cruelty, and I feel like I'm on a watch list after suggesting this.
Like
I don't like this.
The face of psychosis, like, is this an exploration of insanity?
Yeah, kinda.
Or is it like a crime show where somebody's got to stop her? No, it's just like this sort of docudrama.
Maybe the children can work together through leaving themselves notes and stuff. Like the interleaving plots will eventually lead to her downfall. And the mother has to be like, there's all ages. You got to age her up and down. And the kids is like, it'd be a cast of hundreds. It'd be.
Then you can look at each episode and you're like, well, this 8-year-old's not going to solve this thing. Right. Guess I'll watch next week.
Right. But you don't know. Wait for like gonna, a it's going to be born. It's going to be born. How will you know? Like obviously, like you get excited if they're 8 years old and it's only been 15 minutes in. It's like, oh man, it's going to be a serious attempt here.
Lots, yeah, I mean, more so more than an infant. Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, I'm thinking like if you get a still, teenager or something,
still in,
you're
if
like.
If it's still in diapers and you're like half hour in, oh, this kid's is going to get shoved right in the oven at the age of 3.
Yeah. It's not even worth watching.
Do you want to say anything more about Mama's Crypt?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Oh, God. Weakest beaver.
Weakest beaver? So I'm picturing an unlikely hero type story where there's a pack of beavers, right?
Yep.
And their dam gets flushed away. And they've got to move to another location far across
the
country.
You're going National Geographic on the weakest beaver? Is that what you're doing?
No, it's an animated thing.
But still, we're talking about the animal beaver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what are you doing?
This
I'm doing the literal
feel like there's
actual...
a certain level of expectation that you hear weakest beaver and we're not going to talk about
I have a heartfelt
rodents.
Pitch to make, man.
Okay, I'm back.
You're mucking it up with your comedy.
Okay, let's hear the heartfelt
peach. And this poor beaver gets left behind by his pack of beavers.
Uh-huh.
And it's a heroic story of his journey from the dam that got flushed away to find his pack again.
Heroic. Now you got rabbits in it? What the fuck?
It's like Revenant, except with beavers.
In a world, let's take the we just got done talking about teeth, right?
This
is a world where all women have chompers, but their bite forces are radically different.
Okay.
And this is the story of the weakest beaver.
Oh, God. This is going
nowhere
good.
No one expects
good.
Anything from the girl. No, okay, I can't do it. No one expects anything from a woman with the weakest beaver. But it turns out.
the weakest beaver sounds like a horrible tale about rape to me. The one who couldn't fend the guys off. Like, that's where that goes.
Mm. Or maybe it's a game show where they have to... No, I can't do that either. Okay. Okay. Weakest beaver. I like your heartfelt beaver idea, sure.
Okay.
Your heartfelt peach. Desperate Towing.
Wait, I've seen that show. Yeah. That's a real show.
Okay.
It happens in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And it's three companies who are in an industry that is about to go out of business. The towing industry is done.
Okay.
Google self-driving cars, they just send a self-driving car out to get you.
Mm.
So Desperate Towing is about the fight for these three rival companies to survive.
Mm.
Desperately against both themselves and the evaporation of their industry.
It's kind of like the Mr. Plow episode of Simpsons.
Starring Paul Giamatti.
Sure.
As Rudolph Cunningham.
Oh, yeah. He's wearing like stained overalls.
Absolutely. He's got, you know, his hair.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. His face is dirty.
Probably got an extra long beard, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, dirty face around the eyes. He's out there doing his thing. And then you got the businessman, right?
The corporate towers.
The corporate towers, yeah.
They've got their
matching
ties,
shirts.
Sure.
And they're not wearing coveralls, I can tell you that. They're wearing tan pants. They're wearing chinos.
They're white gloves. They show up. And they'll hook up your shit to the underside of the car, come out, the gloves are still sparkling white.
Absolutely. So they're competing.
They're expensive.
And then there's a wild card. You know, there's Gary Busey.
Yeah.
In there as the third man. His name's just Gary Busey.
He's not. So he's everything that
because I think
Paul
Gary Busey is running a towing company.
He's
now.
Everything that the Paul Giamatti character is, except for he's also insane.
Yes.
Like Paul Giamatti, he's just a slob. He's just a slob
he
trying to run a salvage yard.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, but this the
then you got the guy who won't. He'll do the jobs that other people won't.
Mm.
He'll go out on a cold, snowy night.
Yeah.
Icy conditions. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He'll go tow that shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I got a pitch to, I don't know why, I keep going to reality show, probably because it's the lazy thing to do. You have a show where you follow around guys in like expensive cars, like Lexuses, Mercedes, BMWs, until they pull into like a handicap spot or a no parking downtown because, of course,
they're just going to run in. They're too important.
Sure.
And you instantly tow their vehicle, and then you just film them coming out. Why? Wait, no, no, I got it.
I mean, this could be called swift justice as far as I'm concerned.
Alternatively, you do another one of these tricksy shows where you tell people that there's like a scavenger hunt, and if they can complete it in a certain amount of time downtown, then they get a big prize.
But you tow their car.
And as they're completing one of the tasks, you tow their car. And then they come out and just, come on, man, it's for $100,000. I just, you know, come on. And you just like, some of them break down and cry. Yeah. Some of them are like, you know, just getting furious.
Some of them are like, well, got to start again.
Yeah. I mean, that's that's just a specialized camera, candid camera.
It is. But, you know, those happen. You have to film it and release it in Japan.
What if you just start towing people's cars who have legitimately paid their meter? There's time on the meter. There's no restriction from towing there.
Desperate towing.
Yeah. Like, what would your reaction be if you park your Honda, you're downtown, you put in your quarters, you get halfway down the street, and a guy starts hooking up your car? Dude, I've got money on the meter. Hey, tell it to the judge, buddy. Tell it to the judge.
Do I tell you how to do your job? Huh? I got to tow this car. I can't help it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? Where do you work, bud? I'll show up there Monday morning and criticize you doing your job. Oh, God, that would be infuriating. Okay. Let's move on to...
And beforehand, you call them for a job interview. These are people who have been unemployed for longer than 6 months.
Mm.
You call them and say, hey, we got a job interview for you. And you tow their car as they're leaving their own houses to get to the interview.
I like it. Fear Reunited.
Fear Reunited. I mean, this has got to be like a Fear Factor show, right? Where you get some psychological profiles on these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the things that scare them?
Mm-hmm.
What are the horrible events, past events in their lives? And you confront them with those things, and you film their reaction.
Like, here's the thing: everybody knows. Like, there's a kid that either wet and or shit their pants. Maybe you're that kid, in which case this might trigger you. Everyone's got the friends who grew up with them and they know all those dirty secrets. But once you get to a certain adult, it's not like that follows you into your job. No one goes to your job and be like, hey, in the third grade, he shit his pants.
Uh-huh.
You invite every friend of that person to call in, and then you show up with a film crew at their place of employment or out on the street, and you just confront them with the fact that in the third grade, you shit your pants. How's it feel to be a pants shitter?
Uh-huh.
You're reunited with that deep, dark fear that everyone's going to know.
Yeah.
Or you were the kid that got the inappropriate boner doing long division at the chalkboard when you were in the seventh grade.
And it got chalk all over your crotch, so when you turned around.
Yeah, it's just like What do you got? You're the kid that got caught looking at somebody's junk. You're the meat gazer. How's it feel to be a meat gazer?
So these are like... childish, petty things that they've done.
It could be a legitimately embarrassing thing. Formative experiences. Yeah, I feel like this is a universal experience. Like sometimes I have, as Jake on Adventure Time says, I burn my hand on a hot memory stove. Okay. Like I'll randomly flash back to the time where a teacher dressed me down in second grade. And I'll instantly feel like if you can mine people's psyche for that kind of stuff and you just come up and be like, you know, in second grade when you were told to only take two towels from the restroom, you took three and she came in there and made you feel like an idiot. That's a real life example.
I feel like we also have to cast Benedict Cumberbatch in this.
Ooh. Yeah, he's the one that coldly dissects you.
Yeah.
Benjamin Cumberbatch. He is a real dick.
All right, next. I think that's the way to go out on that one.
The slow skater.
Slow skater. Oh, man. I'm thinking docudrama about speed skating where you've got a guy who's desperately trying to get into the sport and can't.
Okay.
He can't. He goes week after week and he tries to get accepted into some kind of classes or something. And he's such a slow skater that no one will hire him. No one will take him on as a client.
Is there such a thing as competitive slow walking?
I think so.
Like,
I don't know how you would judge that, but maybe they have extremely fast motion cameras that, like, you have to be moving at all times.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be almost imperceptible. But, it, like, if a judge films you for a minute and then speeds up, you should be able to see progress at, like, a 10X or something. Maybe there's that.
So this is a documentary about the sport?
Yeah. Like, okay. But it's slow skating, not walking. That's even harder.
I mean, yeah.
I would think.
Probably.
I mean, the strength involved, the, like, you know, because imagine, like, when you're skating, and you're skating like a speed skater, but you're doing it.
Have to be low.
When you got full extension, and the ice is wanting to slip you in both directions, but you have to maintain that, and you can't, like, you know, be wobbling and quivering.
What if it's a guy who wants to compete on the ice, but he doesn't know how to ice skate, so he uses rollerblades?
Well, I think he'd be a very fast skater.
Yeah, you would have no control.
But it's not called out of control skater. It's called slow skater.
Well, he always loses the races.
The slow
skater. So he's considered the slow skater. Because he always comes in last. He just crashes into walls left and right. Sliding off the course. Getting time penalties.
Maybe every professional skater, this is a little known fact, every professional skater has, you know how you have a sparring partner? They're like a boxer, but they can't be as good as you because you got a shot at a title. This isn't like the second best boxer in the world, right? This is some journeyman boxer that's getting paid to get you throw punches at you.
About the guy holding the pads.
So like to give, you know, to get the best, like if you just race against the clock, you never get your best performance. So every world-class skater has a partner that's paired with them, and they skate to chase them, essentially. But they're not as fast.
Sure.
They're the slow skater.
They're the slow skater.
This is
a
story about, like, the fraternal and sororital bond of the men and women who are the slow skaters. They're like the fall. It's like it's essentially like Lee Majors and the Fall Guy. It's the behind-the-scene hero that makes it all work.
Absolutely. There's a community of slow skaters. Right?
Yeah, because only you understand, like, when that guy wins the gold medal, you kind of win the gold medal, too, because he couldn't have done it without you.
It's true, but you don't get one.
You're not on the podium. No. You're not getting interviewed. There's no scandal about you smoking a bong.
I love it.
Before.
And then the main character at one point transcends the slow skater and becomes the fast skater.
Oh.
And he's ostracized by his community. How does he deal with it?
Benjamin Cumberbatch.
He accidentally does it too.
Benjamin Cumberbatch is the fast skater. And this slow guy, he's always like demeaning
him. Slow guy
is
Paul Giamatti.
He's always demeaning him and telling him how ugly and slow he is, and he can never. And he almost. And sometimes he decides he's just going to do it, and he actually beats the fast skater.
Yeah. And it proves to himself he can do it. He gets so fed up with it one day.
That's his arc.
Oh my God, I can do this.
Yeah.
At what cost?
I think that's pretty strong. We should go out with that one.
Okay.
All right. Quit your pitching, man. We hope you've enjoyed this installment of Quit Your Pitching. If you would like to send us feedback, and there's two types of feedback we're looking for. Number one, if you think you've got a better pitch for a show than we gave, send that to qyp@baldmove.com. That's the acronym for Quit Your Pitching @baldmove.com. Or if you've got a show name that you think would make for good pitching, send that in to qyp@baldmove.com, and we might select yours to read a pitch or repitch in a future episode. See you then.